And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And today we are going to talk about the miracles that were performed by the apostles or the disciples. Some of them, at least one of them, was done while Jesus was alive. The rest we're going to talk about all happened after Jesus ascended up into heaven. And that way you can kind of get an idea that as the landscape of what was going on was happening, you know, you had this preacher, this teacher, claimed to be the Son of God, crucified, and then rose again, and then ascended back up into heaven. You had all these people out there, the apostles, the disciples, out there talking and spreading the good news and trying to make disciples in all nations. So there's this feeling of, you know, you gotta show me, you know, prove it, you know. You say that he can do anything. Well, you know, give me some demonstration. And so the Bible does speak about that, where the apostles or disciples did works, did some miracles. Now, in some of them, they don't go into great detail. They just say, and miracles were performed, or something like that. But we do have some where it's in detail. And we'll go through some of those. And then what I'll do is, on the descriptions in the podcast, I'll make a link to all of, or I'll post all of the scripture where we're talking about. So let's get started, shall we? So the first one is Peter walked on water, and that's in Matthew chapter 14, 28 through 31. Now, that's when Jesus was still alive, and he was walking out to the boat and asked Peter to come out if he believed. That's when Peter started, saw the waves, got scared, started to sink, and then Christ raised him back. It's a great story. Once again, though, walking on water, I don't remember that being something we can do. So that's a miracle. So then we have Peter, once again, all believers spoke in foreign languages. And that's basically what we talked about the week before on the day of Pentecost. That's when the speaking in tongues came, where people from all nations heard their languages spoken by someone who had never spoken before. And so a great miracle. That's one of them. And that was after Jesus had ascended. So now the rest of these are all going to be ones where Jesus is already up in heaven preparing our place. And so he's not here to be the guider on it, as far as, you know, saying, you know, Peter or John, do this or do that. This is the disciples or apostles doing it themselves through the power and grace of God. We have in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, chapter 5 and 12, talk about many signs and wonders performed by all apostles. They list them. There's a lot of times in the Acts, they just talk about, and John performed miracles, or John performed acts of miracles. So they don't go into great detail. And my assumption would be that was because they don't want to be considered inaccurate. So rather than make something up, they just put a little subtext right there saying, and many wonders were done. And a lot of the places that they were going to was small cities, small towns, small villages. And that's where the church really started, was a small intimate settings with small groups, leading themselves, whether through hearsay, whether through reading some of the older Jewish texts, and then interpreting it with what they heard from the apostles or the disciples. And so really, small town is where a lot of things ended up getting born from. So that's kind of a cool little thing. Next we got Peter and John healed the lame man. That's in Acts chapter 3, 1 through 11, and chapter 3, verse 16. We've got Peter's shadow fell on the sick, healing them. Once again, just all of these things happening, reinforcing what Christ had said earlier, that through him anything is possible and that there is heavenly gifts bestowed upon us. And when I say bestowed, it doesn't mean you can earn it or learn it or through enough seed sowing that you're going to get this gift. That's not how it works. God will give you the gift. And sometimes it's just the gift at the moment. I know on YouTube a couple times I've seen there's a video out there where a couple was in the Pacific somewhere, and all of a sudden they were able to talk to this lady that was having troubles fluent, and they understood it. And then the next day they couldn't remember how to say it or anything, but they knew what they said. And she was like in some major problems. They needed to bring doctors and stuff, but it was a great story. I think revealing truth is where I saw that. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about with some of the gifts. Some of it is just, it's here for the moment because that's what God needed at this moment. He needed to talk through you to talk to that person. And then after it's done, you no longer need that gift. So we have that going. So then we got Stephen performed amazing miracles and signs. Once again, in Acts. I'm just going to put it this way. Everything I'm listening to you basically is found in Acts. Okay, so we'll go to the descriptions and you'll see all the verses listed. So that'll save us a little bit of time. Okay, so we got Philip cast out demons and healed the lame. We got Peter and John laid hands on believers who then received the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times what it is it's just the... It's doubling down on what Christ has started with, is healing the sick. Basically saying your sins are forgiven and go now. And a lot of times it's not going to be the big demon or speaking in tongues or stuff like that. When you look at these, most of the time it's healing. It's feeling the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, as far as just to understand. But a lot of healing is what the apostles and disciples were doing at this time. Let's see here. We got Peter heals the lame in Lydda. And then the one is Paul crushed and blinded the sorcerer, the blasphemous sorcerer. And that one's kind of cool. That's where basically he cursed him, said, you know, I put a curse on you. You are now blind. And the guy just instantly went blind and had to be helped around. And everybody saw that our God, the true God, was greater than what this sorcerer was trying to say. It's got a lot of parallels to what happened with Moses and Egypt. You know, you had a lot of the people there, a lot of the other sorcerers, so to say, sacrificing to different idols to try to break the curse that Moses had started on Egypt, you know, with the lotus and with the frogs and all of that. We're all familiar with the story, so. But the parallel is pretty cool where, you know, once again, because someone was blaspheming Christ, one of the disciples or apostles was able to just kind of kick it back over to him and say, well, you know, now you're blind. Without God, you can't see. And that's pretty cool. So I think what we're going to do is we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll list some more. Go through one of the stories in a little bit more detail. And then we'll wrap it up for the day. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff, and thanks for listening to that one ad. I know it can be tedious sometimes, but it does help keep the ministry going. It keeps the websites and everything going, so I really do appreciate that. So today, we are talking about the miracles performed after Christ ascended with the apostles and disciples. So let's get back to the list. I mean, and there's quite a few lists. And if you really want to know all of them, what you could do is easily just read the book of Acts. Really. Acts. Go figure. So the Acts of Miracles is found in Acts. So let's get back to the list. So we've got Paul and Barnabas perform signs and wonders in a city that I can't pronounce. It's So anyway, what I said to earlier was that the Book of Acts, it does list. And a lot of times what they do is instead of listing exactly what they did, a lot of times they'll just make a note and say they performed, like this one, performed signs and wonders in a particular city. And that's all that's listed. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not in as great detail like we do with Christ. You know, we get some detailed descriptions, you know. And then even some of those, we don't have all the details. You've got the paraplegic that was walked with his friends on the bed and then lowered down and all that. Not a lot of great detail to that man, but still, a little bit more detail than what we're getting in some of the chapters of Acts. And then you got Paul cast a demon out of a fortune teller, fortune-telling slave girl. So you've got that Paul given extreme power over many unusual miracles. People touched him with aprons and handkerchiefs and laid the clothes on the sick and demon-possessed, who were then healed. So basically, what we're seeing again is the reinforcement of what Christ said earlier, that through him, anything is possible. We're seeing the disciples and the apostles going out, demonstrating that if it's God's will and if it's what he wants, anything is possible, even casting out demons or speaking in tongues or raising them from the dead, which we'll read a little bit later. But and once again, they weren't trying to say that if you follow Christ, these gifts are yours. You too can you know, speak tongues and do all this. And that's not what they're what they were doing. That's not what the gospel is saying, and that's not the message behind Christ. So once again, when you get the people that start trying to sell all these how-to books, I get a little nervous. So then you've got Paul raise someone from the dead after a terrible accident. You've got Paul unharmed by poisonous snake bite in Malta, which is interesting on this one because, yeah, he wasn't harmed. He didn't die, but it doesn't say it wasn't painful. So, you know, a lot of times I think we look at signs, wonders, and say, well, this must not have hurt or anything like that. And with especially this one, it's like, okay, you get bit by a snake. Now, it may be poisonous, which in this case it was. He should have died. He didn't. But what's to say it still didn't hurt? Okay? So sometimes, even with following Christ, things hurt, but it doesn't kill us. And I think that's also where the whole, if it doesn't kill us, it only makes us stronger. So I think that's where that came from. Paul healed a father of fever and dysentery. Paul healed all sick people on the island of Malta. And then the one I want to really talk about here a little bit is Peter raised Tabitha from the dead. Now, the reason I want to go a little bit in detail, and this is from Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 43. The reason I say this is because there's a lot of parallels between this and Lazarus, which Peter would have seen that because he was with Christ when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I say parallel because I think that, you know, he obviously must have been friends with them or knew of her because of some of the stuff that he said and things before and after. So it goes, starting with verse 39, we'll read 39 through 40, just because that's kind of the meat and potatoes of what's actually happening. So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the room upstairs, and all the windows stood beside him, weeping. Widows. Sorry. Stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, it has some parallels. A, because he knew of her. B, there was a lot of weeping, much like what Lazarus. I mean, when someone passes away, obviously everyone's distraught. Now, they said here, you know, they said that she made tunics and stuff like that. You almost want to guess that she might have been a little bit younger than what Lazarus was, but what is nice though is that Peter prayed and knelt. It's not like he said arise and all this other stuff. He just, in quiet conversation with God, asked for her to be brought back. So it's not some hoopla. There's no yelling, shouting, and rattling or anything like that. It's a very somber moment. And I think it really emphasizes what Peter was, basically what his ministry after Christ ascended really became, that of love, of quiet strength, really. And it's a great story. And you can find it, and I'll put it up on the descriptions. But it's Acts chapter 9, 36 through 43 is the entire story. You'll read a little bit before that, and then obviously a little bit after that. But there's the meat and potatoes. He knelt quietly, prayed, and then she woke, saw him, and sat up. So, and those are basically the miracles that happen after Christ, or at least a very it's not the most detailed, but it is quite a bit of them. And once again, the apostles and the disciples, what they were trying to do was build churches up and go to small towns, go to towns that hadn't heard, and tried to motivate and to try to teach them. And so sometimes back then, it still had to be a little flashy sometimes, but they were also just going to the poor and really helping the lame and the sick, and just showing how much mercy the true God has. And so that's where a lot of small town stuff ends up becoming huge, much like Christianity now. So, and that's going to wrap it up for us for this week. We'll kind of think about what we'll do about for the next week. I'm not quite sure yet, so I'll kind of think about it. I got some ideas, but anyway, so that's basically what we're going to finish up with. So if you have any comments or questions, please hit us up on Facebook, or you can email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, so look me up and we can have a conversation. So until then, have a great week.